All you hearty South Floridians, brave the winter elements to come out. So I commend you, salute you for that. Good to see you. Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get right into our lesson for tonight. Hallelujah. Come on in, guys. We'll wait. Come on down. You don't have to sit in the back. You can come up front if you want to. We don't mind. We're very informal. Good to see you. Brave this southern blizzard, South Florida blizzard weather. Sylvain's got his shorts on and everything. No, I'm just kidding. He's trying to make us not feel bad. Hallelujah. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father, for your word. And as we approach your word, we look to you, Holy Spirit. You are our teacher. Open our understanding. Impress and impart to us the truth from the word of God. May it become a living word in us, O God. A living epistle written upon our heart. We thank you for it. And we believe and expect it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're talking about forgiveness. We're going to pick it up there and continue. Turn in Matthew 18. We'll kind of hook up where we kind of sort of left off last time, Matthew 18. Kind of review about that a little bit, about forgiveness. Here in Matthew 18, of course, we're very familiar, probably, in this chapter with the scriptures about binding and loosing. But in the context of what Jesus is talking about here, remember, he was talking about forgiveness. And remember, we brought up the point where he goes on and he talks about, you know, Peter comes in, and he said, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother, you know, seven times? And I'm sure he was throwing out his chest. You know, he's feeling very spiritual, you know. Because, you know, seven times. And Jesus said, I say to you, 70 times seven. And in another place, he says, you know, he infers that's all in one day. So 70 times seven. In other words, we need to live in a place of forgiveness. And then Jesus goes on and gives the parable that we read about there, you know, about the servant that owed the king, in today's terms, millions of dollars. No way he could be paid. He could pay it back. So the king says, okay, you're going to be sold into captivity, you know, put into debtor's prison until everything can be paid. And, of course, we know if he's put in prison, how much money is he going to make there? In other words, there ain't no way he's ever going to pay this debt. So when he was talking to the king, he said, you know, be patient with me and I'll repay you. And, of course, it says the king was moved with compassion and forgave his debt. And then he went out, you know, he found a fellow servant that owed him a couple of bucks, as we would say today. And, the fellow servant said the same thing to him, be patient with me and, you know, and I'll repay you and everything. But he said he would not. And he had him put into prison. And then when it came back to the king brought him before him. And the bottom line was, is this man, what, he ended up back with the debt being restored back on to him and being cast in prison. And then Jesus went on to say in Matthew 18 and verse 35, he said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. So we talked about the fact that the truth about binding and loosing is this: to the degree we're unwilling to forgive, to that degree we hold others in debt to us. And many times when people, maybe somebody's got a problem with temper or with anger or with whatever it is, you know, or somebody has hurt us in some way, and then we refuse to forgive, whether we realize it or not, we are really aiding and abetting that stronghold in their life. Because what we're saying is we're not going to release you from it. We're going to hold you. And every time you see me, every time you're around me, you're going to know, you're going to be conscious of that weakness, that fault, that problem in your life. Because by me not forgiving you, it's going to constantly keep it bound to you. That's what Jesus said. Now, remember when Paul was writing to the Galatians. He said, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, you know, he said, you which are spiritual, turn him out of the church. Talk about him. Don't have nothing to do with. I ain't got it right yet. What did he say? You which are spiritual, what? Restore. Restore. I heard Brother Hagin talking about this one time. Said he went to the Lord about this. He said, Lord, what's going on here? He said, the group, I'm not going to mention who they were, but the denomination he was in at the time, he said, that's not what we do. He said, if anybody messes up, he said, that's it. They're out, you know. And maybe, you know, in 10, 20, 30 years, if they prove themselves, we might, you know. He said, but he got to reading that. He said, Lord, why don't we do that? He said, well, read that scripture again. Remember what he said? He said, if there be any spiritual among you, he said, if there were any of those people like that, they would restore them. He said, oh, my God. He said, a whole denomination, and there wasn't one spiritual one. He said, restore. One of the ways we restore is through forgiveness. It's through forgiveness. Isn't it amazing how we want God to forgive us of every boneheaded thing we do, but we don't want to do that for others? And so he said, what happens is that's the binding and loosening he's talking about. I bind you. I give strength to that thing in your life by my unwillingness to forgive you. That's powerful, isn't it? Because we understand that, yes, I can understand God forgiving me. I can understand where that would have power to set me free, you know, because God forgiving me. But remember, he said over there in John's gospel too, he said, remember he breathed on his disciples. He said, whoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whoa. Because here's the thing. You can sin against me without sinning against God. In other words, you can do me wrong, but not, isn't that right? You know, I can, if I sin against you, that doesn't necessarily mean, or if I hurt you in some way, it doesn't necessarily mean I sinned against God. You know, a lot of times what we do is we run to God for things when we need to be running to each other. We need to be forgiving one another. We need to be releasing one another. So holding others in debt also, we said, is a way of controlling them. That binds them. Sometimes the reason some people do not like to forgive is because they want to keep a certain amount of indebtedness, which is control over other people. I'm not going to let you off the hook. Every time they see me, I want them to know I'm mad. I'm still mad. How would you feel? Now, remember, Jesus said, if you don't release them, guess what? Your Father's not forgiving you. Guess what happens when you get a bunch of stuff piled up that's not forgiven in your life? It becomes what? It becomes a weight. Remember over there in Hebrews 12, we looked at that. He said, let us put off every sin and every weight that so easily what? Entangles us and weighs us down so we can't run the race. And many times, a lot of Christians, they don't have peace. They can't get rid of condemnation and the guilt that wants to grip them. It hinders their prayer life. It hinders their faith. It hinders their relationship with God and others. And it would be so easy if they would just practice this spiritual principle of binding and loosing and stop binding other people, you know, binding them to themselves, that you owe me, that you owe, and release them. And then you know what? They would experience release in their life. It's a fact. See, whenever we fail to forgive others, we're in danger of binding our sin debt back to ourselves. So what does this do? This allows the enemy access into our lives. And he will harass us through accusation, through condemnation and guilt. Now, turn to Matthew 6. I want to pick up here because this is where we were headed about taking up an offense. And this is where so many people in the body of Christ are getting snared, is that they taking up an offense. You know what? As long as you are willing to forgive, you will never remain offended. As As long as you are willing to forgive, you will never remain offended. We've got too many that who are still offended Christians, either still coming to church somewhat, but on the perimeter of church relationships and involvement and activity. And then you got a whole lot of other offended people, what, who are just don't even come to church no more. And they're offended. They're mad, you know, at the pastor or an elder or this one or that one or somebody. Somebody didn't do them right. And it may be actual, it may not be. It really is irrelevant. Jesus didn't say, okay, if somebody really hurt you, you don't have to forgive them. Just forgive the things you that you know that you were mistaken about and you thought people are. No, he said you forgive everything, don't you? And so we got a lot of people who've taken up offenses and have not let them go. They've just, I mean, they're just, you know, they're just percolating. And the thing about it is, we will find out, is that that tends to poison our whole spiritual life. It tends to poison our whole spiritual life. This is a powerful truth. Notice what we said here. We're going to read Matthew 6 in just a moment. But unforgiveness brings yesterday's trouble into today. Remember what Jesus said? Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Boy, he's got that right, didn't he? And so here's the thing. Every day, you're going to have an opportunity to practice forgiveness. Has anybody ever gone through one day where you didn't have to forgive? I didn't say you didn't forgive, where you shouldn't have, or you didn't have to forgive. Somebody somewhere is going to do something that you're not going to like, whether it's real or whether just in my mind, but whatever. Isn't that true? They're going to do something that you don't like. And so there's going to have to be forgiveness. And, you know, there always seems to be that one person that God brings in our life that just, you know, just, you know, they can just push your button. Boy, isn't that right? They can tug your cord. You know what I mean? I mean, they just show, you know. But here's the thing. It gives us an opportunity, what, to grow in love and grow in forgiveness. But what happens is, see, if when we take up offenses and we don't deal with each day's thing, then this trouble's on top of that trouble's on this offense on top of that offense, this hurt on top of that hurt, and pretty soon we got this big stack of stuff we're carrying around. You know, like Pilgrim in Bunyan's book, Pilgrim Progress, you know, he's got the basket on the back and the big rocks keep getting added in it. Man, y'all read Pilgrim's Progress, haven't you? Long time ago. I'd encourage you, read that again. It's a great allegory by John Bunyan. Tremendous. And it's been, now they've got it. You don't have to read it in the old English. It's in modern language. But, you know, he talks about Pilgrim. And Pilgrim was having the weight. He had, and it gave this word picture like Pilgrim. He carried around this basket. And, you know, and every time something happened, it was like another rock was added. And see, this is what happens. The weight of it begins to what? It begins to bind us. Unforgiveness will bind you. It will bind your faith up. It will bind your prayer life up. It will bind you up in your relationships. Because remember, the Bible says faith works by. If you're not forgiven, you're not walking in. So your faith's not going to work. And you're going to need your faith to work. Amen. In your prayer life. In receiving from God. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our. Well, if you're not walking in love, your faith don't work, so you don't have any victory that you're any power to overcome the world with. You ever notice how the enemy, that's what he likes to do? He likes to create strife. See, strife is because, only reason strife can come is I'm unwilling to forgive. Jesus is hanging on a cross. There was no strife there. Why? Because he forgave. There was no animosity there. Why? Because he forgave. Listen, this may sound simple, but this is deep stuff. Isn't that right? There's one thing to cast out a devil. It is. It's one thing to cast out a devil or something, but it's another thing to have to do this every day, every day, every day. Jesus said every day will bring its own trouble. Every day will bring its stuff. Every day will bring its friction. Every day will bring its thing. Isn't that right? But we learn what? How are we perfected in love unless we what? Practice love. And one of the ways we practice love is what? Forgiveness. Isn't that right? How many of you want God to forgive you every time? Well, what did he say do? You must forgive every time. Amen. That takes help from God, doesn't it? But here's the thing. God never asks us to do something that he doesn't enable us to do it. If he commands us to do it, then I know he will give me the ability to do it. Amen. So we talked about it. You know, injustice can cause an offense to come. You know, you ever been treated unjustly? Welcome to the human race, right? Well, you know, none of us like that. I want to be treated fairly. I mean, you don't have to, you know, treat me like the king or something, but, you know, just treat me fair. But when injustice comes, remember the story of Joseph. Joseph was treated unjustly, wasn't he? He could have taken up an offense at God, at his brothers, at Potiphar, at the, you know, the guy who was at the baker or whoever was in jail. That, you know, he said, "Remember me to the king," and of course he didn't. I mean, he kept coming up with the short end of the stick, even though he didn't do anything wrong. But remember what he said when his brothers, he finally revealed himself to his brothers, and they were all afraid. They just knew, oh man, this is it. Now that he's got power, he's going to get us back. But look at Joseph, Old Testament. Not even a born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, 10-Bible-owning believer. Just an Old Testament saint. Look at the grace of God working in his life. He said, no, he said, you could tell he hadn't laid up all these offenses over the year. He hadn't gotten bitter. And that is the end result. If we refuse to forgive and you hold on to unforgiveness and the hurts of others, it will eventually percolate enough in your spirit that it will turn to bitterness. And once it turns to bitterness, I call this the poison of offense. So injustice is one way we take, you know, when somebody actually directly hurts us, of course, we can take up offense. You know, in injustice, it can just be what we call the system. The man, we used to say back in the day. The man, the system, whatever. But also, too, I find this a lot in the body of Christ, is others, that a lot of Christians take up the offense of others. And see, this is how the poison is spread. Somebody does something to me, real or imagined, but to me it's real. Okay? Instead of choosing to forgive, I hold on to it. I refuse to forgive. And that thing, I think about what they did and what they said and how they hurt me. And the next thing I know, you know, even though I've never even talked to them about it or anything, I begin to assign a motive to it. Well, I know why they did it. They just don't like me, or they're a mean person, or they're, you know, they're out for their own, building their own thing. Whatever it is. And so then they begin to go, and the next thing you know, they start sharing that with somebody else, a friend or something. Next thing you know, so then what? They take up that offense too. And that thing, and it can spread through a church. Man, I'm telling you, it's incredible what can happen when that type of offense takes up. We take up the offense of another's, and it causes other people what? To be poisoned. To be poisoned. I want to look at this a little bit. Turn to Hebrews 4. Bitterness is the poison of offenses. This is where you will end up if you choose not to forgive. Ephesians 4, verse 31, it says, get rid of all bitterness. He didn't say pray about it. He didn't say fast about it. He didn't say call all the elders to anoint you with a gallon of oil and pray over you. Did he? I said, did he? He didn't say cast out the devil of bitterness. He just said, get rid of it. God can be pretty straightforward, can he? Yeah. Now, see, in our day and time, see, we want to go through, oh, we got a 10-step program to get rid of bitterness. We got a year's class to get rid of bitterness. He just told him, he said, get rid of it. You know? If I picked up something, you know, we were cleaning out a closet or something, I picked up something, you know, and it was smelling, it was bad, and I handed this to you, I said, just get rid of it. I mean, what would you do? Start praying? You just take it out and put it in the garbage. You'd get it rid of it, wouldn't you? Dispose of it. That's what he said. So we don't want to make this up to be something bigger than it is as far as getting rid of it. God just said, get rid of the bitterness. How are you going to do that? Forgive. Forgive. Well, you just don't know what they did to me. Well, join the human race. And I got news for you. If you live long enough, somebody else is going to do something else. But why walk around with that bitterness on you, that anger that can come out of bitterness because you are unwilling to forgive? And get this, all this time, you're laying up stuff too because Jesus said your Father's not forgiving you. I don't know what that means, but it doesn't sound good, does it? I'll let you put your own theological application on that, but whatever it is, it doesn't sound good because I need my forgiveness. Now, you know, you may have arrived, so that's not a problem for you. But for the rest of us, we need it. We need it. Amen. So he says, get rid of bitterness. Rage, anger, brawling, slander, all that kind of stuff. He said, just get rid of every form of malice. Notice that. Every form of malice. So bitterness, rage, and anger, a lot of that, slander, what is that coming? That's coming from malice. Where does malice come from? Because I won't forgive somebody. I'm hurt. Somebody did me wrong. I was hurt by the system. Somebody said something. Somebody didn't say something. Somebody did something. Somebody failed to do something. So all those things, he said, all that bitterness and all those anger and all those things, he said, that comes from all forms of malice. And malice is what? Somebody hurt me. Now here's the thing. If somebody hurts me and I refuse to forgive, I take up an offense, okay? And if I take that up long enough, then I am going to come to a place where I feel like I've got to pay them back. That's why they're angry. That's why they're bitter. That's why all this stuff comes out. That there's a malice there. I'm going to get even. I'm going to get them back. I'm going to tell you what. Bless God, you can't do me that way. Give you peace of my mind. Most of us don't have a peace that we can spare, do we? I don't. I need all my mind I got. Turn to Hebrews 12 a minute. You know, sometimes these very simple truths are sometimes the most profound, aren't they? And see, this is a daily thing we have to do. It'd be, I'm probably most of us, if it was a one-time thing, we could wouldn't be that difficult, but this is every day. I get up tomorrow, I got to forgive that day. That day's trouble, that day's offense, that day's things that people do against me, whoever they are, I got to forgive. Forgive. I believe this is why some people have all kind of psychosomatic symptoms in their life. They can't sleep, they can't do this, they can't do that. Things will happen in your body. I'm going to tell you what. If you let unforgiveness stay in your life, you're going to pay a price. Don't think you won't. Hebrews 12, verse 15, it says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And defile many. Too many bitter streams in the body of Christ. Too many bitter roots. Amen. And he says, it will defile what? Many. Now, see, this is something in the modern day church we know nothing about, for the most part, church discipline. Come on. Oh boy, don't go there, Pastor. We don't know anything about church discipline. We won't discipline anybody about anything. We're almost intimidated to discipline anybody in the church. You know, well, they're liable to sue the church. They're liable to do this. They're liable to do that. And so what we do is we let things continue on. Remember what I've been saying in my Sunday series, you know, whatever we refuse to confront will remain. And he says it will defile many. I don't know, but I don't think the Lord's going to take our excuse. Well, Lord, they would have sued the church. I don't know that that's going to wash with the Lord. Amen. What does he say? You ought to fear God, not lawyers. I'm paraphrasing it. But he said this, if we allow bitterness to continue, he said, it will defile many. And you know, when you get around people, you can tell right away whether or not they are carrying offense with them, can't you? Whether there's bitterness. Because what? It's going to come out their mouth, isn't it? It's going to come out their mouth. It's going to show in their attitude, but especially in their words. Now, I want you to see this one. Bitter waters cannot heal nor soothe. I want you to look over a minute to Exodus 15. I want you to see something here. It's where I want to spend most of the rest of the lesson on, is right here. Exodus 15. You remember when, this is when God was bringing, had brought the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. We're going to pick it up in verse 23. Well, it's back up to 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. Boy, you know they were thirsty. 3 days in the desert. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. It was bitter. And too many people, their cistern is polluted by unforgiveness and bitterness. And when you try to get in relationship, when you try to be in fellowship with them, it's just impossible. Just like, you know these people, 3 days in the desert, you know they had a thirst working on them. If there would be any way, possible way, that that water could have been drunk, you know they would have been thirsty enough to drink it. But it was so bitter, it was so awful, that even as thirsty as they were, it could not be drunk. It could not be drunk. He said, that is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? Boy, here we go. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Listen, the only way bitter waters are made sweet again is you got to go to the tree. Calvary. That's where forgiveness and grace flow from to us, and from that same tree it's got to flow through us to others. And the only way, if you've got bitter waters, if you've got an offense, if you're bitter, if you're angry, if you're mad at God or somebody else, living or already gone on to be with the Lord, whatever the case is, and until you go to the tree of Calvary again and allow the grace and the love of God that the Bible says is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, and you begin to let that rise up and you make the decision, I'm going to release them. I'm going to forgive them. I want to tell you, that's the only way bitter waters can be made sweet again. It's the only way. Because if you don't do that, wherever you go, those bitter waters, okay, you can pray. You can try to get your faith going. You can try to do all kinds of things that are biblical and right. But I want to tell you what, the bitter water will follow everything you do. The bitter waters will be in your prayers. The bitter waters will pollute your faith. The bitter waters will hinder your relationships with God and with others. Remember what the Apostle John said over there? He said, how can you say, you know, you love God whom you've not seen, when you cannot love your brother whom you have seen? It's awful quiet in here. I know this is a little heavy, but you know, hey, this is stuff we got to deal with. We, you know, I call this, you know, this is really Christian maintenance. Amen. God created you. He forgave you. He gave you the reason. Remember when you, anybody, can you remember when you first got born again? You first got saved? Man, I can. Man, I mean, it just, for me, it just felt like a load was lifted. I mean, I never had experienced such a thing, such a release. I mean, the sky looked bluer, the birds sang prettier, the grass looked greener. I mean, you know, I was almost turned into a tree hugger. You know, I mean, I just went, man, it's a, I mean, just a lover. You know what I mean? You just, golly, you know. You know, but here's the thing. Why didn't we, in many cases, what happened? Why do so many Christians all of a sudden now they look sour again? They look unhappy again. They lose their joy again. They lose their peace again. It could be what? Bitter waters have mingled in. Bitter waters have crept in to those living waters that God put in you that's springing up. And what we've got to do in a situation like that is we've got to go back to Calvary. And not just in getting forgiveness for ourselves, yes, but from that same source flows through us forgiveness to others. It says God showed him a tree. That sounds the craziest thing in the world. Throw a tree into the water, and it's going to go from being undrinkable and bitter to refreshing and drinkable. But that's the power of Calvary, isn't it? And that's what we've got to do. And I want to challenge you, you know, if you find yourself in that situation at all, that's exactly what you would do. That's exactly, a lot of people, the reason they don't have the blessing of God, I'm not saying this is in every case, so don't take it further than what I'm saying. But, you know, many people, the reason they don't have the blessing of God on their life, the reason their prayer life doesn't work, the reason a lot of those stuff's going on, it can be traced to this very thing right here. And what you need to do is not, you don't need more faith or something like that and all those kind of things. You know what you need to do is deal with the bitter waters. Amen. The word here, bitter, in the Hebrew, that word, the connotation besides bitter means angry, heavy, and discontented. That's what it will produce. Bitterness will produce that in your life. There will be some anger there, some animosity. Remember Paul said over there in Ephesians 4, he called it malice. There will be heaviness and discontented. You know, somebody else gets blessed, we're mad and jealous about it, and rather than rejoicing with them. Well, that should have been me. Well, not with all that bitterness coming out of you. You're going to poison. It wouldn't matter if God did bless you, you'd poison it. It wouldn't matter if God did bring a friend into your life or a potential friend in your life, your bitter waters are going to drive them away. And see, here's the thing. We got to practice this on one another. I've just made up my mind. I'm going to forgive. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not putting any qualifications on it. I'm just forgiving. You know, because I'm going to need God to forgive me. And I don't want anything that's going to hinder me. Listen, so the only cure for bitter waters is the tree of Calvary, whereby all forgiveness flows to bring healing into our lives. It's absolutely essential. I want you to look over to, look in John 4. We're going to continue on this thought. John 4. Verse 14, Jesus is speaking here. She, you know, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. In verse 14, he says, "But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life." So when you're born again as a born-again Christian, you've got a wellspring of eternal life. And Jesus compares it to water, like an artesian well, you know, that's bubbling up and bubbling up and bubbling up. But the problem is, if we allow unforgiveness to remain and offenses to remain, that well gets polluted. And so what was intended to bring peace and joy and so forth in your life, all of a sudden now there's a mixture there. And so now, instead of joy, I'm disgruntled. Instead of at peace, I'm angry. Instead of forgiving, I begin to be critical and judgmental of everybody. Listen, God, let me just, if you run into anybody like this, just help set them free. You know, you don't have to judge anybody. That's not even your job. It's not my job, it's not your job. Are you listening? Leave that in God's hands. Because you don't know everything. He does. Isn't that right? You don't know everything. I know sometimes we think we do, but we don't, do we? So here's the thing. See, so some people, what? They have their well is polluted. And so even though they're Christians, they're unhappy, they're discontented, they're angry, they're jealous. There's animosity there. And what happens is that water, you know, that was intended to spring up and give life, it begins to bring the opposite. I get around people and I make them sick instead of well. I pollute them with what's coming out of me. Because listen, remember, what's in your spirit is transmitted out to others is through your mouth. Remember, you know the scripture in Proverbs. He said, life and death are in the what? Power of the tongue. Those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Words are containers. They contain spiritual power, spiritual substance. Isn't that true? That's why when words are spoken to you, they can affect you. They can affect you. A sharp, harsh word. Poof. Isn't that right? A word, uplifting, encouraging word. Isn't that right? And so what we have to understand, this is why Jesus said you'll be judged by every word that comes out of your mouth. Why is that? Because it reflects your heart. It's a container. And so I want my words, what? To bring life to everyone, to every situation. Amen? That's why he said, let your words be what? Be words of grace seasoned with salt. He didn't say, let your words be harsh. Let your words be bitter. Let your words be judging, critical, condemning, all of that. No. So we have to be careful with that. So some people have their wells polluted and their rivers. Look in John 7:38. Man, I wish everybody was here to hear this tonight. Don't take that the wrong way. I'm not saying like because I'm some great teacher. So I'm just saying this is a truth that is real, though. You know, we need to get it. That's all I mean by that. Jesus is speaking. Verse 37, we'll start there. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said with a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from him. But what happens when these are polluted with unforgiveness and forgiveness? Unforgiveness and bitterness. Amen? You know, I remember, most of you know, become here long enough, I grew up in the country. Way back in the country, they had to pipe in the sunshine. You know, my kids think I grew up like a little house on the prairie, and it wasn't too far off, except the only difference was they had a horse, and we didn't. So they were a little better off than I was. We had to walk everywhere. We used to call it Pat and Charlie. Somebody said, I'm going to town. How you going, Pat and Charlie? The only way you could walk. We just gave them name, you know. But, you know, one thing that was great, we had a well. You know, a well. That's what we had. We didn't have running water inside the house. We had a well. You had a bucket. You let the bucket down. You got up the water. You put it in a container of some kind. You took it to the house, and that's what you used for everything. But I want to tell you what, that's some of the best water. I still think about it now. Man, when you bring up that well water in the middle of the summer, man, that was some pure, clean. Even in the summertime, it'd come up, it was cool. It was very cool, cold even. Now, man, that was good. But, you know, I can remember sometimes something would get in the well. You know, if you forgot to cover the well or something, some critter or something would get in there, especially if it was like a skunk or a dead rat. And all of a sudden, that wonderful, refreshing, pure water, it was not that way anymore. Oh, it was, you know, and you would have to, you know, first of all, you'd have to get the thing out of there and everything, and then you'd try to treat it. But it took a while before that water could return to its sweetness again. And, of course, all that time, guess what? If that's your only water source, hello. You know, that's what we had. We had to cook with it, bathe with it, drink it, whatever. It came out of that well. So you know what? We were very careful with the well. You know, They say, make sure you cover that well back up when you're not using it. You know, you're very careful. You know, and here's the thing. We need to be very careful with our well. Too often, we're letting a skunk stay in it or a dead rat get in it. Amen. Come on. It's called unforgiveness. It's called bitterness. And it pollutes that thing. And so, their water's that's coming out of us, all right, but they're polluted now. And so instead of bringing healing to everybody, we're bringing trouble. Remember what he said in Hebrews? He said, you're defiling people. That bitterness, it defiles people. I know this is a little heavy tonight, but you know, we can't jump up and down every time. Well, the good thing is, though, is what? You know what we can do with it. Yes, Chuck. Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Really? Because if you don't, you're going to retain that thing. What happens when, you know, for example, if, say, a sinner offends you? You know, they're not going to, most of them are not. You might find occasionally one that will, but most of them are not going to come and say, forgive me. You know, what you got to do is you got to release them then. Because if you don't, you're going to hold that thing. You're going to hold that thing. Now, if it's a brother, the Bible teaches us what? We can go to the brother and say, look, you know, this is the deal here. And you work out a situation with them. You know, he says, you go to your brother and say, you know, this is what it is. And, you know, that really hurt me. And, you know, and you straighten that out, but you let forgiveness go. But here's the thing. Even if they're not willing to repent, you got it. That doesn't release you from your part. You still have to, because if you don't, then you can hang on that thing and it can still create bitterness in you. You know, so you, whatever they do, you try to, if you can, especially with a brother or sister, you go and you try to, you know, to reconcile every way that you can. But even if they refuse, what? I don't want to hold anything. Why? Because I don't want anything to poison my well. I don't want anything to poison my well. I want to release people, you know, whether they ever repent or not. I mean, what if somebody offends you and you never see them again? You know? Isn't that right? You're going down the road, minding your own business. Somebody cuts you off. Hello? And you pray for them. That's right, Chuck. That's exactly right. You're right. Right after I repent, I pray for them. But here's the thing. It's so important. Turn to 2 Corinthians. I want you to see this again over here. Paul talking to the Corinthians. I can remember years ago when I first read this scripture, it really used to puzzle me. Because how many of you know Corinthians is Paul's writing to spirit-filled, born-again Christians? He's not writing to the world. He's writing to Christians. Keep that in mind. Notice 2 Corinthians 7:1. He says, since we have these promises, dear friends, what he just talked about there, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit. Contaminates the body and the spirit. Now, wait a minute, Paul. I thought we're covered in the blood. There's no way it can be. Well, evidently, Paul, the Holy Ghost, through Paul, wrote this. Aren't the scriptures inspired of God? Didn't the holy men, they didn't write of their own opinions and volition. They wrote as the Holy Spirit inspired them. Amen. Do we believe that here? The inerrancy of the scripture, inspired by God, as the Holy Ghost moved on. Isn't that right? So this is God speaking, isn't he? So God says, through Paul, he says, you got to be careful. He said, your spirit can be contaminated. Be contaminated. This is a big problem in the body of Christ. And again, I'm not going around trying to do the Holy Spirit's job. I'm just giving you the scriptures here. But here's the thing. I'm not, you know, more than me, you know, when I read something like this, my first inclination is not to run around to everybody else. My first inclination is, oh God, let me go home in my prayer closet and deal with my stuff. Isn't that right? And that's what we ought to do. But here's the thing. I have to understand this first. My spirit can be contaminated. And one of the ways it can be contaminated, and I believe one of the chief ways, is through this thing of unforgiveness that leads to bitterness and anger and animal and all this stuff that comes out of it. It begins to what? It begins to contaminate and pollute my spirit. So I lose my peace, I lose my joy, I lose my effectiveness in my prayer life, my relationships, you know, are all messed up. And it can even affect your health if you leave it there long enough. Absolutely. So we need to understand this and realize, hey, you know, if there's some contamination there, I need to deal with that. Isn't that true? Turn to 2 Kings. Man, we're going along through. I might get through early tonight. Probably not, but, you know, it's a happy thought. It's a happy day in the neighborhood. He made it through early. 2 Kings chapter 2. I want to pick up and begin reading about verse 19. It says, the men of the city said to Elisha, look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad. I'll just stop there for emphasis. You know, that's the way a lot of Christians are. They look so good. This town is well situated. How you doing? Oh, great. Praise the Lord. I'm blessed. How about you? He said, but the problem is, they said, here's the problem. As well situated, as well as the city appears, there's one big problem. The water's bad. Isn't that right? That'd be like you know, realtor showing you around, you're going to buy a house. Boy, the house is beautiful, man. Everything, the price is just incredible. I mean, it's just beautiful. You go over there and turn on the water, and all this gunk starts coming out. I don't think you're going to buy that house until that gets fixed, are you? No matter how good the deal is, no matter how beautiful it may look. I mean, it may have granite countertops. It may have, hey, you know, this, that, and the other. But I'm telling you, when that gunk comes out of there, I ain't signing nothing till that gets, isn't that right?
Yeah.
And this is what he was talking about. Because water, both in the natural and as it's referred to in the spirit, represents what? Life. Life. You cannot live without water. You cannot live without it in the spirit either. And many Christians are living a weak, defeated, way below the level that God intended for them because their water is so polluted. So he said, as you can see, the city is well situated, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. What will happen if the water is bad? The land is unproductive. Did you know that Jesus refers to your heart as soil, land? He said, remember the parable of the sower? The sower sows the seed in this kind of soil and that kind of soil and this kind of soil and the other kind of soil. Remember that? Talks about four kinds of soil. What's he talking about? He's talking about what? The condition of the human heart. Remember, Paul said, even to spirit-filled Christians, he said, the spirit can be contaminated. And so here's the thing. We sit in church and we hear the messages and we're on the Christian television. We're listening to that and radio and all this and all this and all this. But it doesn't seems like our land is still unproductive. Where is the fruit of the Spirit in our life? Where is the fruit of God working through me? Where is that? He said, if the water's bad, the land will be unproductive. So here's the thing. If my spirit is contaminated through unforgiveness and the bitterness and all the junk that it brings in with it, listen, I am going to lead an unproductive Christian life. I didn't say you weren't going to heaven, but I'm going to tell you what. You're not going to be of much value on your journey there. And you're certainly not going to be very happy You know what I mean. There's not going to be much joy in your life. He said, the water's bad and the land is unproductive. So he said, bring me a new bowl, he said, and put salt in it. So he brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring and threw the salt into it, saying, this is what the Lord says. I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. And the water has remained wholesome to this day. Remember what Paul wrote over there? He said, purify yourself. When he, by faith, obeyed God and he put salt in there. And salt is a type of preservative, isn't it? You used to use salt to cleanse things, even to cleanse wounds and things. And I still use saline solutions and things for that. So salt has that. But here's the thing. You know, the word is what's going to purify us. And not just knowing the word, but obeying the word. Obeying the word. That this word we're talking about is what? Forgiveness. Remember, we're talking about the 10 supernatural habits of the Spirit-filled believer. And this is one you cannot afford to ignore. Do it to your own detriment. Not only of the outward man, but of the spirit man too. For he will suffer. He will suffer. And not only that, what is even... That's sad enough, but the thing about it is that through you, others can suffer. Because he said, they what? Contaminate others. And so, here's the thing. We want to open up the rivers of healing waters in us. And that's going to happen by what? Forgiveness. If we see there's some gunk and junk that's got in us, then we need to allow the saltiness of God's word in obedience to it to begin to release and bring healing into our spirit. I know that's kind of heavy, isn't it? But it's really not, because here's the thing. Once you get to that place, once you understand that, then just every day keep a short account. Why do you think he said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath? Well, he wasn't just talking about, you know, just we think of wrath. We think of somebody just fighting mad. No. In other words, don't let the sun go down what? On any unforgiveness. Forgive them. What does it cost you? Nothing. What does it cost you not to? A lot. And whenever you're faced with something where somebody has said or done something, and it's so big, because sometimes it is big, and you think, I don't know if I can do this, remember the 10 million God forgave you. Then it'll put yours in proper perspective. Your debt, their debt won't seem so big to you. Isn't that true? And here's the thing. What confidence can we have then when we come to God, when we need to ask forgiveness of God, when we know I have freely forgiven everyone else? Especially now, after this lesson. The truth, because you know, you're going to remember what Jesus said. He said, if you don't forgive, no use going to the Father. Remember when Jesus said, he said, when you get ready, he said, you go, you know, to the temple, you go to the altar, and you get ready to give your gift to God. And there you remember somebody has ought against you, or you have ought against others. He said, what? Before you go do any of this spiritual stuff here at the church, I'm paraphrasing, go get this straightened first. What was more important to God? Getting that forgiveness, getting that situation straight here, you know. And see, this is what our problem is. We can praise in church. We can give in church. We can serve in church. And all of that is wonderful. You know, that has its place. But I want to do that when my spirit is not carrying around the bitter waters of animosity and unforgiveness. This is what it is. Amen. It just is what it is. And you know, two things we can be sure of. Number one, you're going to need forgiveness of God somewhere between now and the time you go to heaven. And number two, somebody is going to do you wrong sometime between now and the time you go to heaven. We can agree on those two things, can't we? So you're going to need forgiveness, and you're going to need to give forgiveness. Just settle it. That's just the way it is. We're living in an imperfect world. You know? Until we reach that measure of maturity of Christ Jesus, all of us, that state of perfection where we're living in the kingdom and we won't need to walk in that. You know? But even there, you walk in love because God's love, isn't he? So here's the thing. Start practicing. Just practice it. Amen? Remember what your mama told you about practice, don't you? Practice makes. Amen? You know, we talk about doctors practicing medicine, lawyers practicing the law. Well, Christians ought to be practicing what? Forgiveness. Isn't that right? Why did people, you know, people were attracted to Jesus for many reasons. For his miracles, but also for his compassion, for the forgiveness he offered. The Pharisees didn't offer that. The Pharisees just offered a stick. Come up here and I'll knock you over the head. Well, no, nobody came. You can't blame them. I wouldn't have come either. Like I said, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I mean, But what did Jesus offer? He said, you come to me. He said, if you're heavy laden, he said, you come to me, I'm going to give you what? Where did rest come from? Forgiveness. That's where rest come from. Isn't that true? When I remember that I'm forgiven, when I come to God and I can get forgiveness I need today, there is why he said rest. But you know what? There's also rest when we forgive others. It brings rest to them and it brings rest to me. Amen? So, let's just agree to encourage one another. We're going to be forgivers. We're going to be lovers. We're going to practice it. You know, husbands, wives, that's a good place to practice, right there at the house, isn't it?
Amen.
Oh, boy, I heard a big amen come back from over here. I might need to talk to you after. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But it's true, isn't it? Because why? That's the people we're around the most. Isn't it true? So it's that, you know, if you're around them the most, you know, guess what? You're going to have the most opportunity. Yeah. But here's the thing. We can forgive. You know, Brother Hagin said this about all marriage counseling. He said there wouldn't be any marriage counseling needed if people just learned, if husband and wife just learned to do this. Walk in love and forgive one another. Put the other person first. Yeah, put the other person first. Walk in love. Forgive one another when you need to. I mean, how can we get in a fight if I forgive? Isn't that right? I haven't found out, husband and wives, takes two to fight. Despite what, you know, if you want to tell your side, it's all him, it's all her. No. Forgiving, amen? So let's develop that habit. Forgive, forgive, forgive. You just purpose in your heart, God, with you as my helper, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to release. I'm not going to let a day go by with a debt that has not been released. And you'll need help. Amen? Yeah, because your flesh don't like that. Especially when you know they've done you wrong. Isn't that right? Especially at injustice, all those things. But here's the thing. We're called to what? Be like the Father, aren't we? Jesus said, be you perfect, even as your Father is perfect. Well, here's a starting place. Forgive. So what I want to do tonight, just before we receive the offering, I want us to just bow our heads. We're going to pray a moment. And maybe I've been speaking about this, maybe the Holy Spirit has just brought to your mind a situation or a person's come before you. Or an incident's come before you. If not, that's fine. Don't try to dig something up. But if something did, we're just going to give you a moment right now as I pray. And if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you just deal with that. Settle it. Forgive them. If the Holy Spirit tells you you need to go to them and deal with something there, then you do whatever he says. But at the minimum, we're going to release them through forgiveness right now. Father, as we take just a moment to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. And anywhere there has been a debt we have not forgiven, an offense that we've taken up, bitter waters that is in us, Lord, let there be, as we forgive them, we release them by faith, not by feeling, but by faith, we release and forgive them now. Lord, let that be the healing of the bitter waters in our life. Let the grace of Calvary flow through us as we forgive. As we release them, Lord, we say they owe us nothing. They don't have to apologize. They don't have to do anything. We are going to forgive them. Freely we are forgiven, and freely we're going to forgive. And we release them now. And Lord, we just say a quick prayer to bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them, Lord. Like Jesus said, Lord, many of them, bless them for they and forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Lord, many people, maybe some more, they don't even know they've hurt us. They don't even know they've done anything. Doesn't matter. We forgive them. And Lord, I thank you. We're going to be released ourselves. We're going to find forgiveness ourselves from you. We're going to find a new peace. We're going to see that the waters, the well springing up in us is going to be refreshing. And there's going to be new joy and new peace in our life. As we release, as we forgive. Thank you, Father. We release them. We bless them in Jesus' name. Bless them, Father. Help them, Father. In Jesus' name, they are forgiven. By faith, we release them. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, every day, we just maintain that. Keep your well, man. Keep it clean. Keep it covered. Don't let nothing get down in there to spoil it, because that water is your life. It is your life. Amen. Hallelujah. So Vane's going to come. We're going to give you real quick. Anybody that'd like to an opportunity to give? Hallelujah. Anybody want an envelope? Thank you, Lord. No, I didn't. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, everything that we do, you know, it flows from this. Like we're getting, you know, some of us are getting ready to give now. We give at other times. We're everybody in here, I know, we're givers. But you know, even the promises of God, Jesus, where he said, give and it'll be given back to you, that can be polluted. People wonder, well, why doesn't that, doesn't seem to work for me? Tithing doesn't seem to work. These, you know, well, it could be this. I'm not saying it is in every case, but it could be. This is a powerful hindrance, because he said this pollutes the whole well. Amen? The well of healing, the well of prosperity, the well of the blessings of God, the well of prayer. It's all in that river, isn't it? You don't just pollute, you know, when something fell in that well, we didn't say, well, just dip the water out of the left side. It all tastes the same, didn't it? Amen? Like leaven in a lump. It just gets in the whole thing, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Okay, you had time, you ready? Those of you who are giving, let's pray over it. Father, thank you again for the power of forgiveness. What a wonderful thing it is to be forgiven. Oh, what a release. What a peace. Lord, we can lay our head down and rest. And Lord, how wonderful it is when we find the joy of forgiving ourselves. Lord, may this truth be impressed indelibly upon our minds and our hearts. Now we give to you and we honor you with our giving. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Sylvain's going to come real quick. The man of many talents. Hallelujah. For his next trick, he's going to juggle for it. No. Thank you, brother. Appreciate your help. Pull a rabbit out of there. Hallelujah. Well, all your accounts up to date? Your forgiveness accounts, are they up to date now? They're all good? The ledger's clean? Hallelujah. Doesn't that feel good? Oh, hallelujah. I am forgiven and I have forgiven. Man, I'm telling you, those waters just, man, they taste good. Amen. Stand up on your feet, please. Now, let's just keep our well clean. Now, remember, when we forgive, it's not based on feelings, is it? Because if you wait until you have a feeling, you won't do it.
That's right.
We forgive is a decision. It's a decision involving our will and then our faith. Amen? Trusting in what? The grace of God in us by the Holy Spirit. So it's just a decision. I've had people that get tormented. Well, I just can't seem to let it go. I just can't seem to, you know. And here's the thing. I said, yes, you did. But what it is you think you got to get a feeling before it really has happened.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, feelings follow faith. Faith don't follow feelings. Isn't that right? Didn't we learn that? That was one of our first lessons we learned, or should have. Isn't that right? Because if you walk by feelings, you'll never live by faith. So faith first, then what? The feelings will follow. Father, again, we love you. We thank you, Lord. How generous you are. You've forgiven us all our sins. Wow. Wow. That's incredible. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And Lord, thank you that you have equipped us by your grace and by the Holy Spirit. We can forgive everyone their debt to us. And we will. Thank you, Father. I bless the people as they go now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening. You are forgiven.